Father, we thank you for grace. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to learn to be equipped, to bring revelation knowledge, to establish your people in the truth that is in the gospel. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to know you, or rather be known by you. So I pray as the word comes with clarity tonight, the riches of redemption are made clear to our understanding. Your people are enriched in all things, sufficiency in all things. And we rejoice that by the end of this class, we will be the better for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right, what a blessing to have all of you here. We'll go to the class. Once again, our vision is to reintroduce Jesus to this generation, equipping the believer to know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what Christ can do through you. There's a mandate that gets us to do all the things we do. And we're always excited to be part of what God is doing right now on the earth. Always an honor and a joy to know that we're part of what God is doing all over the world. Now back to our class. Last week we saw substituting brass for gold. And we began to look at some historical information. We started from the book of 2 Chronicles 12, 9 and 10. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away all the shields of gold with Solomon, which Solomon had made, instead of which Rehoboam made shields of brass, and committed into the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. So we began to look at the background of the story, and we began to learn lessons, because Romans 15:4 says, whatsoever things were said aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So we began to look at how to behave in the house of God. We saw that one of the major problems that made all of us move away from Orthodox churches to begin to join the Pentecostal charismatic churches was a lack of sound doctrine. We ran away for lack of sound teaching of God's word. And then we saw that there was a loss for too much physical structure. This one is building 100,000 seater. This one is building 150. This one is building 200. That became the madness and the craze. So everybody left. And of course, the emphasis on money, where all kinds of offerings were collected, and all of that would be done at the detriment of spiritual growth. Another major reason is worldliness, where churches began to thrive on titles. Bishop, archbishop, reverend, doctor, no Bible studies, ceremonies. And we said all of that has come back today again to the Pentecostal churches, where we all ran to. And so we began to talk about the fact that the Pentecostal charismatic churches will have to press the restart button all over again. Otherwise, it won't be long. A lot of people are going to be out of those churches looking for where they can just study the Bible and know Christ. And that's what's happening in our time. And it's important to know that those of us that God has shown mercy and grace, we must hold on to the tradition and hold on to the doctrine and hold on to the soundness of the things we have learned and never let them sleep. Praise the Lord. All right, today is week 17. We're looking at what are we building? What are we building? Today is week 17. We're looking at what are we building? What are we building? The word building or the word builded is used severally in both the Old and New Testament texts of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David, his father, in the place that David had prepared. In the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. And he began to build in the second day of the second month, in the fourth year of his reign. Now, these are the things wherein Solomon was instructed for the building of the house of God. Now, the length by cubits after the first measure was the 60 cubits and the breadth 20 cubits. It was made with physical materials, beautiful artifacts, designs done with very skilled architects and professionals. Moses had built one earlier, and several others like Nehemiah, Haggai, Ezra were all involved in building for the Lord. Yet God spoke in this wise, Isaiah 66 verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? He said this whilst a subsisting edifice called his house was in place. Jesus made this comment as well in John chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. This sounded ridiculous to the hearers. So they began to ask questions in John 2:20. Then said the Jews, 40 and 6 years was this temple in building, and will thou raise it up in 3 days? But they were spiritually oblivious, because John chapter 2, verse 21 to 22 further says, but he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. For his Father's house was not a physical edifice, rather a physical structure in the spirit. A physical structure in the spirit. Much later, he enlightened us further in John chapter 14, verse 2 to 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. His Father's house was not a temple either Moses or Solomon or anyone else built. All those temples were not the Father's house, built by Moses or Solomon or any of those prophets or any of those Old Testament men. Only Jesus builds the house. And the house that Jesus builds does not have architects and engineers. Only Jesus builds the Father's house. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ has a son over his own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, we are this house. We are this house. Upon his resurrection, the Father will dwell in believers, his house. In John chapter 14, verse 23, John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So he never attempted to build a new temple or structure for his church. The apostles also taught this very clearly in all their letters. For example, Brother Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:16 will say, 1 Corinthians 3:16 will say, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So the house of God refers to people, not physical buildings. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 to 22, Ephesians 2, 21 to 22, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. So this house is in the Spirit. This house is in the Spirit. Peter reiterated this as well in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It is a spiritual house, and it is not purchased with money. When we gather, this is his house, and not where we gather. Our gathering is the Father's house, not necessarily the location. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Two or three make up this house as a gathering. Two or three makes up this house as a gathering. Brother Paul, in addressing Timothy, pointed this out to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. This is our gathering. God dwells in us collectively and individually. Hence, when we come together with this consciousness, the unsaved will see this, not in the venue, but they will see it in the congregants. The unsaved will see the reality in us, not in a building. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23 to 25, 1 Corinthians 14, 23 to 25. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy, there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Those are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. This happens via his or their experience with us. It is noteworthy that the epistles teach on building as well, but definitely not physical structures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to 12, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now, this is the work of ministry and gifts are highlighted here. It is not erecting physical structures, but spiritual edifices, which is done by teaching, preaching, and ministering by the Spirit. That scripture already is the work of ministry gifts. It's not erecting physical structures, but spiritual edifices, which is done by teaching, preaching, and ministering by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. 14, 12. 14, 26. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, that all things be done unto edify. The word edify was translated from the Greek word oikodomio, O-I-K-O, oikodomio, oikodomio, O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O. It implies erecting a structure and equipment, oikodomio. It was translated from the same word used for Solomon's building. However, this is different, because it's different materials and it's different focus. This is the ministry of the local church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14 to 16, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sly of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is the building the local church ought to engage in. Whilst we must seek such secure and, if necessary, purchase places of gathering, it must never replace the building God looks for and the building God is seeking for. Jesus discarded the emphasis on the place to the people. He discarded that emphasis in John 4, 21 to 24. John chapter 4, verse 21 to 24. Jesus saith unto a woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the spiritual edification of believers is when we gather. When we gather, we edify one another. Remember, for about 1,000 years after the ascension of Jesus, the church did not own properties nor real estates. Yet it influenced cities and nations. It influenced cities and nations. In fact, the book of Acts and the epistles mention with strong emphasis homes of the saints for church gatherings. Homes of the saints were used. In Acts 2:46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house. Romans chapter 16, verse 5. Romans chapter 16, verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruit of Achaia unto Christ. Erecting of structures was never intentioned or mentioned, but rather building of believers spiritually. Building of believers spiritually. Let us examine what happened in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, verse 9 and verse 20. Acts chapter 19, verse 9 and verse 20. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The influence of the message grew with great power. The influence of the message, it grew with great power. Today, for modernity's sake, we need to get spaces to meet and gather. At times, very large spaces, if our congregants are as much. But we must never think this is our focus. Our focus is not to start, you know, chasing after physical structures. Our focus and our work is to build men. Build men. If the church in the apostles' days were into tens of thousands, yet they did not erect structures, but they had immense influence. The church of today needs a refocus. The church of today needs a refocus. The people or the venue? We must make up our mind. Is it the people or the venue? Is it poverty, I mean property, or spiritual growth? What do we want? A beautiful building with TV lights, with air conditioners and everything comfortable, or spiritual growth? You know, architectural designs or gifts of the spirit, which one do we want? These are things we must settle our minds on. The people or the venue, property or spiritual growth, architectural designs or gifts of the spirit. What do we want? Things or spirit? It depends. We've got to make up our mind because there's the need to refocus, especially in the church world. How much focus are we placing on our teaching? That's critical. How much focus are we placing on our teaching? How much focus are we placing on prayer? Prayer. How much focus are we placing on the gifts of the Spirit? in operation amongst us? How much focus? Are we building saints or cathedrals in place of saints? Are we building saints or cathedrals in place of saints? Note, you cannot build a church of Jesus with engineers and architects. You cannot build a church of Jesus with engineers and architects. You can only build it with the word. You can only build a church of Jesus with the word. It is noteworthy that what we receive from our Lord Jesus and the apostles is the teaching of the gospel. That's all we receive. That's what we inherited. That's our apostolic inheritance. That's our inheritance from Jesus himself. The teaching of the gospel. That's all. That's what we inherited. That is what will last, and that is what will outlast buildings and physical structures. The teaching of the word will last. It will outlast buildings. It will outlast physical structures. So before we embark on a church building project, which can be necessary depending on where we are, we must ask if we have placed spiritual growth above this. Have we placed spiritual growth above our desire to build a physical structure? Otherwise, the same fate that befell cathedrals of yore with massive and enormous heights, but today are standing carcasses and caricatures. I remember there's a place that is called City of Zion, somewhere in America. There used to sit 50,000 people. Today is a monument. Go there, nobody's there. Whole cathedrals are empty in the United Kingdom. Nobody goes there anymore. Even in America, people are abandoning buildings, church buildings. Nobody comes to the church. The pastor is tired. He has run away for his life. The building is lying fallow. And it's crazy that in Nigeria, it is now they're waking up to start building structures and be competing on who has the biggest church. Give it another 15 years, 10 years down the road. We are still here. Jesus is not coming tomorrow. You know, let us value men above buildings. Let us value men above physical structures. And let us build men. Let us value men above buildings. Let us build men above physical structures. Let us build men. Because the only thing that will last where ministry is concerned is the ministry of the word. I've said it many times. We don't even know the kind of car, if there were cars in Brother Paul's day. We don't know what kind of cars they drove. We don't know what color of clothes they used to wear. If they used to wear suits and tie, I don't know what's in there. You know? We don't know what kind of food they ate. We don't know which location they lived in. But there's only one thing we have from them. The teaching of the word. The only thing we leave for our generation and generations to come is the teaching of God's word. Nothing else. Nothing else. The teaching of God's word, that's all we have. That's all people remember us for in another 100 years. What we taught, what we said, what we left. What the apostles and Jesus left for us is word. What we're going to leave for others is word. And if you don't teach sound doctrine, you don't teach the right, it will be scattered in your very presence. See what the bloggers are doing on social media, right? See what they're doing? They will take a pastor's teaching and join it with my own and show me flogging the person. Meanwhile, I'm not even flogging anybody. I'm just teaching the word of God. But you see, I'm just saying that. You look at the way things are happening, the way things are evolving. If you don't teach sound doctrine, if you don't teach sound doctrine while you're still alive, they will pack you one side, pack all your ministry one side. The only thing that will last is the teaching of the word, the preaching of sound word. It will outlive us. It will outlive our children. It will outlive our children's children's children, the teaching of God's word. The car you drove, nobody will remember. You know, including those that are driving Range Rovers in heaven, will not remember all that. You know, all those kind of things. All this kind of thing. I don't feel like violent this evening, so let me calm down. Let us build men. Let us value men above buildings. Let us invest in men. Let us minister over men. Let us toil over men. let's raise men. Let's pour into men. You know, wherever we find people, let's make our deposit on them. That's where the ministry is day and night. Wherever you find people, you pour into them. You teach the word. You challenge them. You open Christ to them. You make Christ known to them. Those that are saved, you start laboring. You disciple. You mature them. You help them grow. And you help them get into the ministry too, where they begin to teach the same word. The things that I was heard of me, like Paul would tell Timothy, the same. Commit to faithful men who will in turn commit to others. That's the way it works. Glory to God. Father, I pray for every student of this academy, every man, every woman of God, great men and women of God. I pray that, Lord, your word continues to challenge our minds, challenge our thoughts, challenge our values, challenge our priorities, challenge our focus, challenge our commitment and dedication to the values that represent the gospel. Lord, we're committed to the fidelity of the gospel. We're committed to the integrity of God's word. And we're committed to contending earnestly for that salvation that was once delivered unto us. Therefore, Father, in the name of Jesus, in and out of season, we preach the word, we teach the word, we contend for the truth of the gospel. We dismantle old mindsets. We bring down ideologies that contradict the truth of Christ. We cast down imagination. We cast down thought and reasonings. We bring under subjection the ideologies of men. And we decree that the gospel is prevailing in the nations, prevailing in our hearts, prevailing through us. Misconceptions are being corrected as the word of God is coming daily. Ministry is being formed in us. Ministry, resilience, commitment to the ministry of the word, to prayer, to raising men and building men in the name of Jesus with a passion that cannot quench. And Father, we rejoice. I thank you for this class, that your people are rising like an edifice every day as the truth is coming, and an army of men and women are being equipped in this class that will represent Christ, make him known, and manifest the savor of his grace in every place. Father, I give you praise. And I thank you for answered prayer tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. All right, the assignment for this week. Question number one. Assignment for this week. Hallelujah. Question number one. In substituting brass for gold, a minister must give himself to building the house of God. In substituting brass for gold, a minister must give himself to building the house of God. Who or what is the house of God in both testaments of the Bible? Who or what is the house of God in both testaments of the Bible? I repeat, in substituting brass for gold, a minister must give himself to building the house of God. Who or what is the house of God in both testaments of the Bible? Question number two. From your submissions in question one, which I just read, how and what do you build a church with? How and what do you build the church with? How and what do you build the church with? Those are the two questions for this week. And you know, the assignments are submitted between now and midweek, Wednesday midnight. All right? Praise God. All right.